You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining our door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Mmm, delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you have had a good weekend. I have had a great weekend. Couple of things I just have to talk about. Yesterday was South A Street's Winter Blast, and oh, it was so well named. I had such a blast. It just made me love Sonoma County even more. I've never really experienced Santa Rosa any more wonderful than it was last night. The Hubbub Club was playing. The, Ear Stew, which is this sort of industrial band with made instruments using, you know, found objects, but also this fabulous, maybe it was an accordion, a concertina, something, an electric violin, fabulous art, tamales on the street. Somebody had actually made real etole. It was just a true street fair, not the kind where people truck in, you know, pottery from anywhere and jewelry from anywhere. It was just so real, and the artists were there in some of the, that amazing bicycle, you know, with a wheel as big as the house, practically. It was there. There was a couch parade. The couch parade was magnificent. So South A Street, on one hand, you don't want to talk about it too much because you want it to stay just as authentic and wonderful as it is. On the other hand, everyone should know about it. And then today, the farmer's market started out rainy, and towards the end of the market, the sky just opened up, and it was a beautiful, crisp, late fall day. And there's one more market in Sebastopol this year. It is next Sunday, so you shouldn't miss it. Anyway, that was my weekend, and now I'm ending up with just really wonderful people here in the studio. Because of scheduling, we had to record next week's show just a little bit ago. Those guests are now on the freeway driving home, but I have to tell you about it. It's Bracebridge, the wonderful Bracebridge dinner, which has been taking place in Yosemite at the Iwani Hotel since 1927. You'll have several people to hear from next Sunday on Mouthful. Very exciting. And now we're going to do something we've never done before here in Mouthful. We are going to have, we're going to be a construction zone. We have Ryan Polnell. Did I say it right, Ryan?
That's perfect.
Cool. You are the chef at Matanzas Creek Winery.
Yeah.
And you're going to construct a gingerbread house.
Well, we've got three things for you tonight. One, we're going to talk about some gingerbread construction. Two, I'm going to do a dish kind of using gingerbread as the theme. And then the third one is kind of going to use the scraps that inevitably happen with gingerbread house construction and turn that into a savory course. So we got three things for you tonight, as long as time permits it.
Cool. And we're going to have you get started in just a second. But I also want to introduce the larger theme, which is Matanzas Creek Winery in Bennett Valley. It's having their open house. It's coming up on December 5th and December 6th. Ryan will be doing, you'll be doing dessert demos on Sunday from 12 to 3, I think that is.
Correct. And then, throughout that day, I'm just going to be demoing the dish that we're going to talk about here in a second. And as the guests come in and taste our late harvest dessert wine, I'll show them this particular dish.
Cool. And then also here in the studio with us and at the open house on Saturday, December 5th, from 11 until 3, we have Lisa Gutrich of the Bohemian Creamery. Somebody, I've been wanting to meet you and talk to you for so long, and
it was
just pure coincidence it all worked out.
Thank you.
So we'll be tasting your cheeses in a little bit. But since I think that Ryan is going to do most of the heavy lifting tonight, let's let you get started and talk about what do you want to do first?
I can assemble a little gingerbread, I think.
Okay.
Well, real quick about my gingerbread background. I don't consider myself an expert, but in the last 2 years, we've competed in the Sonoma Valley Vintners Gingerbread Winery Contest.
Yes. That is such a fun contest.
It really talented pastry chefs out there doing incredible recreations of these beautiful wineries along the Sonoma Valley. And through doing that in the last 2 years, I've learned a couple of things through trial and error. So hopefully we could share that with the listeners tonight.
Okay. I should also introduce one more guest we have in the studio with us, the if not famous, certainly well-known Lucas Rice Jordan, otherwise known as my grandson, who is here because of the subjects, both gingerbread and cheese. A great cheese. You love cheese, don't you?
Yes, I do.
So what are you most excited about, tasting the cheeses or seeing the gingerbread house?
Gingerbread house.
Oh, okay. So gingerbread.
Good answer.
Is even. And then you're sitting right next to the cheeses, so you're going to be giving us your opinion of the cheeses as we taste them, right?
As you smell them, too.
As you
smell, yes. Yeah, mostly.
What do you think? You're going to be doing that for us? Tell us what you think and tell us about the aromas. You're really good when we taste things at home. You can tell me exactly, oh, this seems like it has some goat cheese in it.
Yeah, I can. I do know my food sometimes by smelling it.
Good. And you have a very good palate, young man. Okay.
Right. I'm a little intimidated by the gingerbread tester over there, but we'll see what I can do here.
Now, it looks like you have a floor and two walls in place.
So, yeah, I just brought a couple of support pieces to kind of talk about the actual structure of gingerbread houses. Here, we made a dough, which the recipe is available on the Matanzas Creek website, I believe.
Is that the 30-second gingerbread sponge cake?
That is the second demo that I'm going to talk about. I have another recipe here for you, actually, that I can give you in a sec.
Okay.
But this one's just a traditional gingerbread dough.
Okay.
More for structure than for flavor, but does taste good, too. So what I've done is just kind of rolled out individual pieces. And I started with a stencil, and I've created the whole house out of cardboard first because basically, if you can make it out of cardboard and it stands, it's probably going to do pretty good with gingerbread.
Okay.
So I've got all my structure pieces baked off, and you want to roll these out to about 3/8 of an inch so they can support the roof pieces, which will be a little bit smaller. And I just use a French rolling pin and roll out the dough, and then you cut each piece according to the stencil, but leave the trim on the outside because then when you bake it, the gingerbread that wants to expand, it's kind of constricted by the outside trim pieces.
Uh-huh.
And so it really holds its shape. And then after it comes out of the oven, I just quickly cut each cut another time and break each piece out.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little trick I use is right here, I do a little sandpaper on the edges. And it really helps kind of create a nice flush corners.
That's a great idea.
And makes the final appearance that much cleaner and nicer. With gingerbread, the most important ingredient is the royal icing. It's the cement, the glue that holds everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a bunch of powdered sugar. And so,
powdered
can't
sugar
be so bad. little bit of
water or a different
it's egg white.
Egg white.
And so that's going to help it set nice and solid. And then a little bit of cream of tartar just to help the egg white hold its soft peaks. And so I'll just kind of show you one wall, I guess.
Uh-huh.
One important thing when you're assembling the house is you want to assemble it on the actual presentation board that you're going to, you know, the final resting place, if you will, of the house. I learned that the hard way the first year. I created the what I thought was this beautiful house on a sheet tray in an extremely large cookie sheet,
mm-hmm.
and got all the way done and realized I can't present it on this, you know, piece of industrial equipment. So it was a little nerve-wracking, but we were able to transfer the house.
Oh, you were able. I thought you were going to have a tragic story.
Yeah, no disaster story there. There were many disasters, though, but we won't talk about those.
Now, what was it, that house? What was your model for it?
So the model for the houses the last 2 years have been Matanzas Creek Winery.
Mm-hmm.
And last year we tried to incorporate more of the landscape around Matanzas Creek.
Mm-hmm. Did you do the lavender field?
Exactly. I was going to just mention, I don't know if you've been there.
But oh, yes, many times.
One of the best parts of the property is that beautiful lavender field that kind of looks like Provence. And mm-hmm. It's just a really cool tasting room. And it's so much more than a tasting room because it does have that kind of, you know, South of France vibe
mm-hmm.
going
Absolutely.
On. And from that, they also make quite a few lavender products that they sell in the tasting mm-hmm. room that are nice, and we use those in cooking as well.
Sandra McIver, when she planted the lavender field there, she was really the first person, certainly in the North Bay, to have that sort of area dedicated only to lavender, and really did a lot for furthering that image of Sonoma County as America's Provence. Now you're putting the royal icing on.
So yeah, I'll turn this around so you guys can see. But you basically want to start with quite a bit on the bottom, and as you work your way up, a little bit less, mm-hmm. and it kind of gives you that pyramid support system in sugar.
Now I should tell Mouthful listeners that we're doing something for the first time, and if it works, and I have every faith that it will, we are going to post a video of this construction. It will probably, I would say, by the time that this show is available as a podcast on iTunes, I hope to have the video posted as well. And Mouthful has a fan page, Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, on Facebook. And KRCB also has a fan page. And we will post information about how to see the video, hopefully post the video directly on those fan pages. But if not, we'll post where to see them. So you won't just hear about it. You'll get to see it.
A little more pressure on me. That's all right.
Oh, you're very photogenic. So, no worries.
Thanks.
So, Lucas, you have a question about the construction?
Yeah. Do you know what it would look like when you're done?
This particular house, not really, just because I made kind of just some really basic structural pieces. This one would be your traditional pyramid-shaped roof and four walls.
I see a kind of like a circle shape in the inside. It's
so that's the window. So if you wanted to create like a round window, you use a biscuit or a pastry cutter around, and you do that on the initial construction of each piece, and then just pop it out at the end, just like the walls.
Oh, cool! Oh. Interesting.
So.
Okay, so what's next? Now, if you need to work on that without us bothering you, we can have a little cheese talk if you'd like.
All right, why don't you go with some cheese talk, and I'll keep working over here.
Okay.
We'll be cheesy over here.
Okay, so now it's time for some cheese.
All right.
And tell us about the Bohemian Cheese
Creamery.
Company. Creamery. That's right, Creamery.
Bohemian Creamery. Well, we are fairly new. Only sort of gone commercial in the last year and a half. I've been making cheese in my kitchen for 15 years, but just
and you're
why
in,
not?
Are you in Freestone?
Well, we're in Bodega.
In Bodega.
Yeah, and we're in the process of building our own creamery right now out in Sebastopol, out at Lepe's Ranch, which is right between High School Road and 116.
Oh,
so we're
okay.
going to be even more local. And we have our goats out there now, and we're pouring cement and just put up our aging rooms last week. So we expect to be up and running there come March or April.
Oh, great.
And that'll be nice because then we can have the public come in and we'll be able to double, triple our production at some point. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
And is it all goat cheese?
No. We have a herd of alpine goats, and they're faithful and wonderful, all named after our matriarchs from the old country. And but we also do our neighbor out in Bodega, Richard Hughes. He sells to Strauss Creamery, and he sells to us. And so we've got some really nice organic Jersey milk that we can work
milk,
with.
Great.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So I've got a few washed rind cheeses that I make with his milk. And then new to our profile here, our repertoire of cheese, is some sheep milk that we've been getting out from Marcia Baranaga. She's out in Marshall. And that's just – we've just made some incredible cheeses there. I mean, I've really – I sell out before I even, before I've even made the cheese. I sort of feel like some kind of, methamphetamine lab because people call me and they're calling me, like chefs are calling me like 2 a.m. I want some of that cheese. And I don't have it. I'm sort of bolting the doors. And yeah, that's become very popular. So we're quite busy. And I brought four cheeses here to taste today.
Okay, and it looks like Lucas wants to ask you a question.
Please go right ahead.
What kind of cheeses did you bring?
Well, very
impatient,
good question.
Are we?
I have brought cheeses that you've never heard of because they don't even exist. I invented them. But I also brought some cheeses that you might have heard of, depending on what sort of a cheesy person you are. I lived in Italy for many years, and I teach Italian at the junior college, and I have replicated some of my favorite Italian cheeses, but I've also done some twists and turns on them. So, some might be recognizable and some might be a little different from what you might expect.
So let's try one.
Okay. The first cheese, I sort of like to start people in order because I start with one of my more mild cheeses because some of these get awfully stinky, as I think Lucas can attest to. He's sitting right next to the stinkiest box I brought.
And I should say that as we're doing this, we also have some Matanzas Creek wines here. And that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be doing cheese and wine at Matanzas Creek.
So one of the first wine, one of the first pairings that we thought worked really well when I went out to Matanzas Creek a couple of weeks ago was with their cab. And that's what that's what they decided to pair this Capriago with. And this Capriago is Piedmontese, based on a Piedmontese Asiago, but the twist and turn that I think I mentioned to you, I do these wild things every now and then. I've made it out of goat milk instead of cow milk. And this is unlike a lot of the Asiagos that we get here, which are usually like Asiago Stravecchio, which is very, very dry. And a lot of people are sort of accustomed to thinking of Asiago as a cheese that you shave. That indeed is not really what an authentic Asiago can be. And so this is a semi-hard, much softer than what most people are accustomed to when they think of Asiago. It's a traditional Rhine cheese. I'm happy to answer any other questions that you want to know about it. I could go on and on. But
What do you want to ask about it, Lucas?
What does Asiago mean, really?
Asiago is a that's a good question. There's a town that this cheese began in, but it's now spread to a sort of a style of cheese making. And this is does anybody else want any here?
Let's see.
So this is a traditional Rhine cheese, and that means that this cheese you can have around for months and months. What you're eating is probably about 4 months old, but you can keep this around for 8 months to a year, year and a half. And it's sort of like, when you bake bread, it's the same ingredient, but you put it in the oven and it gets a crust on it. And so there's a way in which in the affinage, the finishing process, that we enable this crust to form around the paste itself, and that seals in the moisture, and it really protects the cheese, sort of the opposite of what a washed rind cheese does, which is break down the rind, break down the crust that forms. So that's the mildest cheese that I brought.
It's really quite wonderful. And this is the one that you pair with.
Incredible. That one we did with the cab. And we don't have a bottle cab with us now, but The next two cheeses we're going to do with our 2007 Bennett Valley Pinot Noir. And then,
which I have not tasted, and I'm very much looking forward to tasting.
Can I just ask if we could do it with a Merlot, only because the cheeses that you've paired for the Pinot are really, really strong.
Do you want to do the Pinot last?
If we could, yeah,
okay.
That would be best.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
So with that said, we're going to go on to the 2006 Bennett Valley Merlot.
Okay.
So same AVA,
I can push
different varietal.
Glasses over towards you.
Let me pull the cork on this one.
And the cheese that we've paired with that is one of my, as I was telling Lucas, one of my invented cheeses. This is also a goat cheese made from our fine ladies up there at
the
dairy.
Now, she's cutting it, Lucas, did you have something to say about the Asiago?
No, it wasn't about the Asiago, but is that the cheese that's stinky?
This is not yet the cheese that is stinky.
I think we taste the stinky cheese
last. I think
last.
You will know. There will be no doubt in your mind when we have come to that point, I assure you.
Now, this is the, which, what year, what vintage of the?
I don't need that.
What year Merlot is this?
2006.
Six, okay. You know, for a long time, and perhaps still, Matanzas Creek Merlot has had the reputation as, if not the very best, certainly one of the very best Merlots made.
I think the Bennett Valley is arguably one of the best regions for growing this particular grape. And our winemakers are extremely talented in creating wines that are really food-friendly. This Merlot in particular is really balanced. It's got a good amount of acidity to it. That Asiago was awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's kind of like a nice little trip. Wild blue mold on the outside.
Yeah, and it's like a nice little trip to Italy.
Oh.
You know, just has that fabulous texture that you don't think of as a texture of American cheeses.
No.
You think associate it more with European cheeses.
And what you're trying here with the Merlot is a Caproncino, which is really an invented cheese, an invention of Bohemian creameries. And
could you say the name again?
Caproncino,
Caproncino.
Little goat. And it's also aged about the same, about 4 months. it's a tangier, less nutty cheese.
Mm-hmm.
The first one you might have picked up somewhere of sort of the nutmeggy
but,
flavors.
And this has like higher up on the palate notes.
Yeah. And it's a nice little cheese. It's really done really well. A lot of chefs are using it not only for cheese plates, but also in cooking as well. So they had a nice risotto with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think Oliveto Cafe makes a really nice risotto with this Caproncino.
Well, that sounds really good.
It's really nice with the wine.
Yeah.
Really very nice with the wine. What do you think of it, Lucas?
I thought that was really good. I think I liked the first one a little better, though.
Okay.
And what I really learned from the pairing, because I don't know so much about wine, but it was interesting to go out to Matanzas, is that actually what we found, and I think stands to reason so much in life, is that, you know, the bolder wine worked so much better with the more subtle cheese, and the bolder cheese worked so much better in unison with the more subtle wine. And that was interesting for me to hear and experience and to see, so...
And both of those cheeses so far, even though they're goat's milk, they're extremely complex. I think it's from your aging process. They both, I think, would work really well with this Merlot. But it's an interesting pairing because traditionally you would think goat cheese and straight to Sauvignon Blanc. But because of the affinage, the finishing of these cheeses, they work really well with these big red wines.
Yeah, they do. They do. And actually, this Merlot is really very soft in a good way. You know, it's very pretty.
Yeah.
Merlot.
The 06, definitely ready to drink now. And it's also a wine you can, you know, tuck away in the closet and wait a couple of years, and it's just going to get that much better.
I drank my last bottle of 1985 Matanzas Creek Merlot. It's probably been 2 years. And I'll tell you, it was still perfect. It was gorgeous. I could have waited another couple of years. Yes, Lucas?
Oh, they never know what I was going to say.
That happens sometimes, you know, even when you're on the radio. So how's the gingerbread house coming?
So the walls are, they're up. And, you know, an important step is waiting with gingerbread.
So you're waiting for it to...
So this is probably as far as we're going to get today.
Oh, okay.
But maybe for the podcast we can finish this some other day, because you really need the royal icing to dry with the wall structure before you put that roof on. Otherwise, it's just kind of playing a balance game that you don't want to play.
Oh, okay.
So,
so then
but all four walls are up.
And you would put it aside for, what, 24 hours?
It'll dry in a couple hours.
Okay.
But for me, it's just play it safe, do the walls one day, and then come back the next day and pop on the roof. Uh-huh. And then on the third day, do the fun part, which is the decorating.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the fun part. Definitely. One piece of licorice for the window, one piece of licorice for me. So you were going to do three things. Actually, you know what we should do? We should take a little musical interlude here, Lawrence, and we'll be right back talking about cheese, gingerbread, and Matanzas Creek wines.
Food.
That was Solid Air, Sam Page and Allegra Broughton. And Allegra, of course, is doing a show now on KRCB, first and third Wednesday nights from 8 to 10. Great, great people in the music business here in Sonoma County. And we are talking with Ryan Polnow of Matanzas. He is the chef at Matanzas Creek Winery. They are having their open house coming up on December 5th and December 6th. Lots of fun things. And we have Lisa Gutrich with us, who is doing cheese wine and cheese pairings on Saturday at, that's December 5th, at the open house. We have some product. There are so many products that Matanzas Creek is doing now in addition to wine. And in a lot of ways, they all just seem to spring out of that amazing lavender bed. They do a lavender rub that you can use. It's really good on pork. I think that pork and chicken thighs barbecued the right way. Also have some lavender tea. I was having a really interesting conversation with Condra Eastley of Patisserie Angelica, who was on Mouthful, oh gosh, I think 2 weeks ago. And we were talking about good infusions that bring out the complexity of the various ingredients. And then there's sort of infusions that are sort of very, very bold and aggressive, but at the same time, not complex. And we were talking about how cold infusion, it just draws out so much more subtle elements. And I think it works particularly well with lavender. And Condra says that as well. And you can make tea. You don't have to make tea with hot water. If you make sun tea, for example, in the summer for iced tea, it's a great, you get something that you don't get when you pour boiled water onto the tea leaves. And but you can do the same thing for a hot tea. And I think when you have lavender in with a black tea, that's the way to go. You just do really good water. And I say that because I live in Sebastopol and I'm on a well, which means I don't make tea out of my well water. Just a nice spring water and put it in a jar, glass jar, and even put it out in the cool sun for several hours until it turns the color you want. Strain it, and then if you want that tea warm, then just warm it, heat it. And you'll notice, if you're not convinced, if this seems like so much hoodoo, do a side-by-side tasting. Make yourself a cup of hot tea with boiling water. At the same time, you have the cold infused tea. They will taste different. And just, you know, see which one you prefer. I think cold infusion, you know, a lot of people even make coffee by cold water straining and then heating the coffee. A lot of people think it's always the best way to draw flavors out of almost anything. We also have something we're going to open in a little bit. I'm going to let you hear it. That is Chardonnay brittle, also made at Matanzas Creek Winery. So we're going to be trying that in a little bit. Right now, Chef Ryan is in the KRCB kitchen searing pork belly that he is going to do something with. He's doing a savory gingerbread dish. So I can't wait for that. And while we're waiting for him to come back, we have we're going to have the next cheese.
Okay. So here is one of Bohemian Creamery's finest cheeses. This is a washed rind cheese. We call it Boho Bell. It's named after Bel Paese from the Alto Adige area of Italy. And this is very authentic, very traditional. This is a very popular cheese among chefs in, you know, from Napa County, Sonoma County, and down to San Francisco. I love this cheese because it really has a complexity in flavor and also in presentation. As it warms, it sort of it has three layers. It has a very grainy rind on the outside. That's fun to put in your mouth, but then it's got this sort of like a triple cream thin layer between the rind and the paste. And then the paste itself is sort of almost like a cheesecake quality. So you have three textures in this cheese. And it's a really versatile cheese. And here, why don't you try some?
Okay. And tell us the name again.
It's we call it Boho Bell.
Boho, that's right, Boho,
Boho Bell.
Bell,
after Bel Paese.
Mm-hmm. And I love Bel Paese.
Yeah.
Mm. This is wonderful.
Thank you.
Mm. Really, really, really good. In fact, I wish, you know what I wish I'd brought with me? I just made my winter batch of quince paste.
I will cut you a nice slab of this before I leave, and you can take it home and
thank you.
Enjoy it with
and
your
I'll try to
paste.
get you some of my quince paste. I made a lot. You can't make a small amount of quince paste.
Do you use the yellow quince or the red or
yellow? Because I have a quince tree. Mm-hmm. Gophers don't eat mm-hmm. quince, so I have a quince tree, and I try to make a batch every year. And I just finished it. This is absolutely wonderful, and I'm going to try it with the Pinot Noir. Is what year? Can we see the year on that? It is
2007.
Mm, very.
Yeah, we're working our way up the smelly ladder. Mm-hmm. You might be able to tell this studio won't smell the same for a few days.
That sounds so good. It's fabulous. Now, how long is this aged?
This is about 3 months old.
Okay.
We usually let it out at 2 months, and it behaves very well, even though it is a wash-drying cheese, and wash-drying mm-hmm. cheeses tend to break down faster than traditional rind cheeses. It's a pretty hearty wash-drying cheese.
Mm. Now, Lisa, you're making really sophisticated cheeses. You're making complex cheeses. How are you, and you've been doing it for a year and a half, how is the word getting out about your cheeses? Who's buying them, and how do they find you?
Well, we have very limited production, so I have been unable, right now we're not really able to supply our entire demand, which is what has put us at the, which is why we want to grow and move to our new place mm-hmm. so that we can increase our production. But generally, it's through chefs. I mean, mostly I would mm-hmm. say that 90% of our sales really are going to the restaurants uh-huh. in Napa County, Sonoma County, San mm-hmm. Francisco, East Bay. Mm-hmm. And I guess now's a really good time for me to thank our fine friend Jim Reichart from Sonoma Poultry, who uh-huh. carts our cheese.
Oh, he does. Oh,
he's
great.
So wonderful. And yeah. I said, come on, Jim, there's got to be something in this for you. And he says, no, why? Why does there have to be something in it for us? So he's been out of the kindness of his heart doing that. But as we grow, you know, we will not prevail upon him any longer. You mm-hmm. hear that, Jim. So we will, we're in the process of looking at distributors. Mm-hmm. And as we increase our production, that's certainly mm-hmm. something that we'll be looking into, if not doing our own delivery service. Mm-hmm.
Now, if people, just someone listening or just people in general, average retail consumer, can they buy
could
direct?
They could go up to the Healdsburg Cheese Shop.
Okay.
Doralise carries us up uh-huh. there, and she does a really good job at also packaging and shipping anywhere across the United States.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she's fantastic at that.
And, yeah, I wanted to have Doralise on Mouthful uh-huh. ever since she took over the shop there.
That's great.
So I'll get her on one of
yes.
these days.
And Pacific Market in Sebastopol is okay. carrying some of our cheeses. Uh-huh. Oliver's used to. It may again. And then we're down at the Cheese Board in Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. What about John Raymond?
And John Raymond is a huge purveyor. I mean,
he buys a lot of stuff.
Yes, John Raymond is one of our. I mean,
if you have John Raymond's blessings,
yes,
there
yes,
you go.
Yes, John and I meet somewhere on Highway 12 every week, and we do the big exchange. It looks, bags into his car. Yeah.
It looks like Lucas has something. Is it an eager question or is it a statement?
Well, it's more of a question. How many goat cheeses are there really?
In the world?
Well, no, just like mostly in California or the United States.
How many goat cheeses?
Yeah.
You ask smart questions. I don't know if anyone in the studio can ask that right now.
I don't know. I could say maybe how many goat cheese creameries there are in California, but I couldn't say how many cheeses they're making.
Just go ahead.
My dad, when he was working for the harvest at Owl Ridge, there is the Redwood
Hill.
Redwood Hill.
He was right next to that. He was working at the winery kind of next to it, and well, so I just drove, and my mom used to work at this Sonoma Organics, and she delivered things and picked things up.
And she did a lot of cheeses, yes. They deliver, Sonoma Organics delivers a lot of cheeses.
Yeah.
So did you go to Redwood Hill while Dad was working at Owl Ridge?
No, but I do remember my mom just saying, I think there's a guy there named Bob.
Well, Jennifer Bice is the owner of Redwood Hill Goat Cheese, and she has always told me that you're welcome to go there anytime because you have your reputation for liking goat cheese has been spread far and wide, Lucas.
Really?
Yes. And now, I think I may smell pork belly.
Yeah, I think
it's
good nose. Yeah.
You've already had some?
Yeah.
At 8 years old, he's quite the foodie. I'm impressed. I'm going to pass these out to you guys.
Okay. So. Well, tell. Let's see. Oh, you've already made the deal. Okay. Yes, interesting.
I plated it up here, and maybe we'll start with the Pinot. I don't know how far you guys got with that while I was gone, but if everyone has that in the glass, maybe we'll take a little sip of that wine before we try the pairing itself. One's for you.
It's a very nice Pinot. And these are...
Sorry.
Is the Pinot Estate now... Or, no, who are you getting... Who is Matanzas Creek getting their Pinot grapes from?
This is a estate-grown fruit.
Oh, it is estate.
It's
okay.
New for us. That's probably why you haven't seen it before.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe they grafted onto some old Syrah vines for this Pinot. And it might be our second vintage...
Okay, so tell me what I'm tasting.
And so the dish, the inspiration was kind of trying not to be wasteful in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And when you're building gingerbread, it's inevitable that you're going to have scraps. And there's only so many scraps that you and all your friends at the time can eat. So what we've done here is we've ground some of those scraps and made kind of like a gingerbread crumb. And on top of that, there's a seared pork belly and a persimmon relish or chutney. So the persimmon kind of brings out some of the vanilla flavors in the Pinot Noir that it gets from that oak influence. And the spice from the gingerbread kind of brings out a complex, smoky spiciness in the Pinot.
You know, this is really interesting. If someone were to tell me they were making this, I'd just smack them. It's like, you're what? It works so well. That persimmon, partly you used, is it you use fuyu, right?
Yeah, this is 100% fuyu in this one. Fuyu. And it was just kind of a quick
saute. The
type
of persimmon that you can eat when it's crunchy.
Exactly.
You don't have to wait till it's sauce. Yeah. It works really, really well. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
And for me, like, my initial inclination was to go with Chardonnay with persimmons. But if you taste them, they're the strongest flavor to me is this, like, overwhelming vanilla. And because of the French and American oak influence on all of our red wines, it really kind of helps bring out that nuance in the wine.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's really an outstanding. Now, are you going to be serving this, talking about this, or anything?
This was just created for tonight.
Just for a mouthful? Mouthful special?
Exactly. The recipe we will post on our website soon. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll let us have it so that we can post it on Mouthful's page.
Yeah, definitely.
As well. That'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
You like? What do you think of it?
Well, Well, when he told me, he said, "Have you ever had pork belly?" And I said, "No." Then he asked me if I've ever had bacon, and then he said, "Then I've had pork belly." He just said it's just like it's not really fried. Wait.
Not smoked.
Yeah, it's not smoked.
Yeah.
So did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good.
And then I'll go right into my last dish real quick.
Okay.
This one's going to be the dish that I'm demoing on Sunday, December 6th for our Matanzas Creek open house out in Bennett Valley. We're going to be there from noon to 3, and throughout the day I'm just going to kind of demo different components on this composed dessert. I'm actually going to use Lucas's help to bake the cake. And as long as he knows how to use a microwave, we'll be all right.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah. It's easy. As you do, it's just, I forgot what you press at the first, but then you start pressing buttons of, like, how many minutes or seconds, and then you press start. Then it
Perfect.
There you go.
All right. So this technique is kind of new. A chef in Spain developed it.
Tell me, Fernan.
It's Ferran's brother, Albert Adria, who works in the El Bulli laboratory.
Uh-huh.
And what we do here is we've taken a traditional sponge cake or genoise, and we put it into a whipped cream charger, just like they use at that coffee shop that everyone goes to. We've charged it with two cream chargers, and we're going to just dispense it into this plastic microwavable disposable cup. And I'm going to have Lucas microwave it for 40 seconds.
Can you do that, Lucas?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Ow. Hey, Oops. That hurts.
I'm sorry. We're going to take your headphones off.
You're wrecking my beautiful hair.
Well, you have a job now. So you're going to go off and do the microwaving. There you go, Lucas.
I'll be back.
And while he's gone, I'll finish the dish off here.
Okay. So 40.
Let's do 40 seconds there. Oh, you'll be right. So, all right. While he's doing that, it's I call it 30-second microwave cake because a single portion only takes 30 seconds, but that was a big portion. So, While he's baking the cake, I'll assemble the rest of the dish. And if you guys want to empty your glasses, I'm going to pour some of our dessert wine. Oh,
I think
you guys already have it.
Our little wine fairy poured it already.
All right. It's nice to have a wine fairy.
And tell it. Why don't you tell us about the wine, though?
So this wine, it's new for us. It's a late harvest red wine. It's predominantly Syrah. And so you get like these really big, bright red fruit aromas. It's not super high on the sugar level, which is nice because then you know, you don't need this cloyingly sweet dessert to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has kind of a nice spice aroma to it, as Syrahs traditionally do with the cinnamon and nutmeg. And so the dish here is inspired by gingerbread as well, kind of trying to bring some of that stuff out. So the first thing I'm going to put on the plate is it's just a blackberry kind of concentrate. I've taken some blackberries this past summer and cooked them down in this same late harvest Syrah and a touch of sugar and created this really concentrated red berry puree. And then the next thing we have here is a little chocolate mousse, because mm-hmm. chocolate and red dessert wines go so well together. This recipe is available on Matanzas Creek's website, and it actually has a little bit of the Syrah on there as well.
Now, your assistant is back.
My assistant is back with a hot cup of cake. All right. And so you can see that it's kind of held its structure. And
so basically,
in 30
it was
seconds,
like gingerbread.
It's gingerbread
foam.
Scented cake batter. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's got flour in there, almond flour. And this is the dish that I'm going to be demonstrating all day on Sunday, December 6th at the Matanzas Creek
Open
House.
Oh, okay, now I can see it. Okay.
So
look, it's like kinda
comes
the shortest or the lightest.
Super airy because of
very, very airy.
Those whipped cream chargers. And then we just put a little bit on the plate along with that chocolate and the berry. And finish it maybe with a little bit of the gingerbread crumbs. And that's it. Why don't you guys try that out?
Wow. Okay, let's look at this. What do you think? What do you want to say?
Well, about the cake part, it really smells like cinnamon.
Like cinnamon? Is there? You should ask Ryan if there's a lot of cinnamon in it.
He has quite the palate on him. There is lots of cinnamon and lots of ginger. So, like I said, the inspiration was gingerbread here. And so there's molasses in the cake base and those spices that we just talked about.
Do you want to use the fork to see what you think?
Yes, please.
And throughout the year at Matanzas Creek, we hold events based on food and wine pairings for our wine club. Every year we have our big lavender festival where we mm-hmm. create dishes that incorporate lavender, but more importantly pair with the Matanzas Creek wines. And it's a really fun event.
We're going to have you don't have to raise your hand. We're going to have Lawrence taste it as well.
All right.
It's good, huh?
It is. You know, you keep exploding these biases I have. I don't use a microwave. I don't use the machine that interjects foam. And that cake is really interesting and good.
Well, at one point, the oven was new technology, and it took people a while, I'm sure, to to accept that. And I think the microwave is just that next step.
I guess for me, the microwave, and I've written about this a lot, I have a hard time with the absence of fire. I like fire. So, but this is, it seems to me that one of the flaws of a microwave is that in many ways it attempts to duplicate fire, and it doesn't do a very good job. You're using it in a way that I think plays to its strengths.
Exactly.
And you're doing something really different with it.
Yeah. And here, this technique, it achieves a texture that you couldn't get in a regular
right.
oven.
That's what I mean about playing to its strengths.
Because it makes it that much airier. Yeah. So.
Really interesting. And tell me about wine pairing.
So wine pairing, we're doing the late harvest dessert wine Lael team is what we call it at Matanzas Creek. Trying to bring out the spice tones,
which it really does.
Cinnamon and ginger in there. There's a strong red fruit aroma to the wine, so we wanted to mirror that with the blackberry. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, chocolate and late harvest red wine is just
they all go really, really quite beautifully together. Quite beautifully. What do you think? How do you think? How do you think it is with the wine, Lucas?
Well, it doesn't. Well,
never mind.
Well, I don't know. Well, it doesn't really taste like wine.
Well, there's no. You haven't had the wine. That's blackberry. That's blackberry puree. So I was just I was just teasing you about the wine.
In 13 years, we'll do the wine pairing.
There we go. Yeah.
And I'm sure in 13 years, he'll have more food knowledge than me at this rate.
I'll tell you, when he came home from the hospital, I had this goal with him.
Wait, and I've been to the hospital?
Well, you were born in a hospital.
Oh, yeah.
When he came home from the hospital and we had the first dinner, I opened a bottle of, oh gosh, it was either 91 or 94, Gary Farrell, Allen Vineyard Pinot Noir. And I put a little wine on my finger, and I put a few drops on his tongue and whispered, Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir. And I did that, you know, like once a week or so, just like two or three drops on his tongue, but always whispering Pinot Noir. Because I wanted him, I thought, wow, wouldn't it be great if somebody could have perfect pitch for Pinot Noir in the way that someone has perfect musical pitch. And this one day we were at a party, and I was holding him. He was about 9 months old, and somebody came up to talk to me. They were holding a glass of red wine, and he reached over and put his little finger in their glass.
Nice. Nine-month-old wino.
I don't think I I don't remember that, but I do remember sticking my finger in wine, but I don't remember sticking it in someone I didn't know. And I was about, I could already walk and talk
so
very
you,
well.
Okay, so you were.
I could already climb trees.
Oh, so you were a bit older than that. Now we still have, one more cheese to try?
One last cheese.
This is the stinky one.
The smelliest of all smelly cheeses. This is an époisse.
Oh, époisse.
And this is our one, I call it fall from grace because all our cheeses are Italian, and this is our French cheese. We do Italianize it by washing it with a grappa, however.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
So. This is a little on the young side because, as I think I said, it's hard for me to keep these cheeses around. Mm-hmm. So this is from our next batch up, and I apologize, it's not as goopy as it normally is when I send it out to the chefs. But and if anybody's, nobody's indifferent about this cheese. They either love it or they can't stand it, and I don't take it personally. So I will just put this on a plate because it's far too messy for me to.
Okay, it's going to be interesting to see what you think of this when you've been so interested in its aroma.
This is
as soon as she's done.
This is a cow milk. It's an organic Jersey cow milk cheese, and we followed, as I say, every little piece of tradition. The affinage in this is very, very labor intensive. It's very time consuming, it really only has a shelf life of maybe 10 days once it hits its point, and so that's why we make them in such very small forms. They're about half a pound a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Excited for this.
Yes, I know. I can't wait to try it.
Well,
you can put mine on the same plate as Lucas's. You don't have to get another plate. Did you have a comment about this, Lucas?
I'm sucking my nose.
No. I actually like the aroma.
Usually we have found from having done enough festivals and cheese festivals and such that we find that, interestingly, if somebody really turns green and falls over, it's usually a man and not a woman.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Interesting. I find it quite lovely. Quite lovely.
And this man's not falling over here.
And this would
that
be
was awesome cheese.
And this is one that you would pair with Pinot Noir. You have found Pinot Noir successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Pinot shares some of those same kind of earthy characteristics. And the high acid in this Bennett Valley Pinot Noir really cuts through some of the richness of that époisse.
Uh-huh.
Awesome cheese.
Yeah, really. Quite amazing. Well, I knew this hour was going to fly by, and this hour has indeed flown by. So I want to thank you. I'm hoping maybe we can get together and finish the
definitely
the gingerbread house and get that up on YouTube for people to see. I can't wait to see how you decorate it. Right. And before we end, tell people, you made the side of one of the walls look like bricks. How did you do that?
So real quick, after I rolled it out, using a pastry scraper or a bench scraper, just made some indentations into the gingerbread. And then when you bake it, it holds that shape, and it really appears, has the appearance of a brick wall. And at Matanzas Creek, the winery itself is an old kind of rustic brick facade to it that is it's beautiful. And so that was the goal in replicating that.
And on that note, we've got to start to say good evening. I have to say, tell you that Matanzas Creek Winery Holiday Open House takes place December 5th and 6th from 11 to 4 each day. On Saturday, Lisa Gottrich of Bohemian Creamery will be there doing cheese and wine pairings from 11 to 3. Sunday is when you can catch Ryan Polnow doing his dessert demos from noon to 3. How do people get a hold of you? Do you have a website, Lisa?
I do, www.bohemiancreamery.com.
Bohemiancreamery.com, there you go. And Matanzas Creek Winery is Matanzas Creek, right?
Easy enough, matanzascreek.com.
Well, thanks so much to both of you, and also thanks so much to Michaela Balthazar for both suggesting this and pulling it together. I really appreciate it. And Lucas, you have a final word? What? No, you got to talk.
KRCB, Santa Rosa.
That's where you are. This has been Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, when we will be talking about the Bracebridge Dinner at Yosemite. Coming up next, it's Outbeat Salon.
Food.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.